Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Window. This is our March 2024 preview show, and this is one of the most interesting, unique international windows that I can remember. We've got matches from across the globe. Pretty much every confederation is in action. Actually, every confederation is in action. And just want to welcome you to the show, because we've got an exciting roundup of everything that's going on around the world. Joe, welcome. How are you doing? Are you looking forward to the March window?
Hey, Brandon. Yeah, thanks. I am. Yes, of course I am. This has been something that since we last recorded our Asian Cup and our AFCON review shows, we've been eagerly anticipating this window. We mentioned in those episodes at the end that this was a big, big window. There's a lot going on. So yeah, really excited to break it all down. And so everybody buckle up, because this is going to be, this is going to be a fun one.
It is. And I was looking at the schedule and really what's out there. This feels like a very unique March window, specifically because March is usually the month where you're coming off a long hiatus, the longest in most years, going from the November window to the March window. And typically you've got either World Cup qualifying or Confederation tournament qualifying. We don't really have that in droves. We've got a mix of a number of different qualifications and friendlies and FIFA series, World Cup qualifying, Copa America qualifying. It feels like a total mishmash of tournaments and things going on right now, but there's a lot at stake everywhere around the world in this window.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Even in the Oceania, right? I think we'll touch upon that briefly, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, I mean, even there's qualifiers for the Nations Cup that's going to happen in the summer. So yeah, it's really an incredible window. I think the only place where there's not competitive fixtures is South America this time. They're all in friendlies or in the FIFA series. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It is. And I think we're going to start in Europe, because we've got six head-to-head fixtures. There are semifinals. We'll have three finals with three teams qualifying in the March window, completing the field for Euro 2024 to take place in June. Path A has Poland versus Estonia and Wales versus Finland. Poland is hosting Estonia, Wales hosting Finland. But interestingly, the final host was conducted via draw. And in this path, the Wales-Finland winner will host the final. So while Finland travels to Wales for the semifinal, should they win, the final is going to be held in Helsinki. And both Wales and Finland are preparing for that, obviously. Let's start with the Poland versus Estonia match. On paper, it looks like Poland to me. They're home. Estonia did not have an encouraging Euro qualifying campaign at all. They finished dead last in their group, did not win a game. But Poland also did not perform all that well. They finished third behind Albania and Czech Republic and only finished 1 point ahead of Moldova. So what are your thoughts on this Poland versus Estonia match? On paper, to me, it looks like a sure thing for Poland. But do you think Estonia's got any chance to perhaps pull an upset here?
Well, they're certainly trying to. Their squad selection is really interesting. They didn't actually call anybody new into the squad. So everybody who's been called up has been in the team before, some of them with only a few caps, but the vast majority of them have a significant amount of you know, experience with the national team. And that includes Ragnar Klavan, who he's 38 years old. So he's older than I am.
Wow.
He's got 129 caps. He's a defender. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, either he's there for a leadership role or they're legit going to start him in this game.
Yeah.
Because of his experience, I guess. I mean, 129 caps is nothing to scoff at. So he, you know, he's been around the block for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know, 38 years old, going up against Lewandowski and others, that seems, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's that's a tough.
I saw some Lewandowski in interviews. He looks hungry. He looks like he's ready to take on Estonia.
Yeah. I think Estonia honestly is up against it. I think, you know, they're going to be the bookies favorites. They're probably our favorites. Well, I would. Yeah. But it would be a huge shock if Estonia did pull it off. I mean, that would be just absolutely incredible. But I mean, we're talking about a team here who played Thailand at home last year in October, and it was only a 1-1 draw, right? And so that's not a knock on Thailand. Thailand's a decent team. But, you know, with...
They're not Poland.
They're not Poland, exactly. So, yeah, it's an uphill task, I think, for Estonia and for Poland. Similarly, not very many new faces, only one, in fact. So... Yeah, a very experienced side from Poland as well. And yeah, I would be surprised if there was a different result.
Yeah, I would agree. I think things definitely get interesting when you start looking at the other fixture and then thinking about, okay, if Poland does beat Estonia, no matter what, they're traveling. That's a known, is that whoever wins between Wales and Finland, Poland is going to have to travel to one of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
Wales versus Finland is an interesting matchup to me. I'm back and forth. I think Wales having the home crowd behind them, I think it's going to be a big boost. This really feels like a matchup to me where I think if it was being played in Finland, I might lean towards them. I still think they'll be tough. Ultimately, I feel like the home crowd's going to be enough to support Wales, but on paper, as uneven, I would say, as Poland and Estonia looks, I think this is much, much closer. And oh, yeah. Finland, I thought, looked pretty good in qualifying. I thought Wales also looked good, but ultimately, you know, each team had it in their hands to be able to get a different result and could have get it done. So I feel like both of them are at this point about on par with each other. Do you feel similarly?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think Wales fans have every reason to be nervous. I think Finnish fans have just as much reason as well, specifically because it's not a home match for them. They tend to perform better at home, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, Finland, it's unfortunate because Robert Taylor decided that he wasn't going to come into the squad this month. He's playing with Lionel Messi at Inter Miami in Major League Soccer in the USA, and he's consistently been one of Finland's better players. And so the fact that he decided not to come in is shocking. Yeah. I think it sent shockwaves through Helsinki and the rest of Finland, honestly.
Yeah.
It certainly surprised both of us. So, you know, I'm liking Finland's chances a little bit less with that. However, it is good to note that Finland has Ant-Man back, and he has been absolutely key for them in basically getting them to this point, honestly. He is a creator, and he's going to be one of the focal points, and that can be good or bad, right? Like, if you know he's going to be a focal point, then it's easy to shut it down. But you have some other players who are in really good form for Finland as well. Poyanpolo has had a really good season with his club. He's coming in good form. For Wales, you know, Aaron Ramsey's back in. there's actually nobody, there's no new call-ups for either of these teams, remarkably. So yeah, they're both bringing in the experience, the best that's available to them. You know, they're not really messing around with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of my favorite, if not most favorite, of the semifinal matches. I just think it's going to be a very even match, could go either way. I might give Wales a bit of an edge with the home crowd. I think they've been tougher at home, and it'll be interesting. But I'm really curious, because even in the semifinals, I think the matchup against Poland is going to be a great game, regardless of who it is.
Yeah.
And I really think that if it's Finland that prevails against Wales, I think they could beat Poland at home and ultimately qualify. I think Wales can do the same. But really, I feel like even once you get through that fixture, I just keep coming back to Lewandowski for Poland, because depending on how he plays, he, I would say in more recent years and in some critical matches, I don't think he has been as dominant for Poland as he has been in the past or for a club. I mean, he's consistently, for his club, one of the best goal scorers in the world. And I think this year has probably been a little bit of a down year for him, but you know, it's to be expected when you're 35 years old. But I really think it's going to come down to what he brings to Poland, and can he recreate some of that goal scoring magic that he's had in the past?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that whoever comes out of the Wales-Finland match is going to set up a really good match against probably Poland. And like you, I'm very much looking forward to it. I think this is probably, I don't know, they're all really good ties, so I don't want to go that far, but
yeah. So who are you picking out of this foursome to qualify for Euro?
Oh man. I'll take Poland over Estonia. I'll go opposite of you and take Finland over Wales. And then, yeah, I'm going to take Poland.
Okay. So two road victors, Finland over Wales and then Poland over Finland. I am not that brave.
Going against the odds here. Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the home teams in each fixture and say that it's Poland and Wales, with Wales ultimately emerging and qualifying. But I think Estonia is in some, just not in a good draw against Poland, and then they have to go away twice just to qualify. So to me, it feels like it's one of the other three teams. I really feel like it could be any of them. I think it's a very balanced path, and I think any three of Poland, Wales, and Finland, if any of them qualified, I wouldn't be surprised.
Excellent.
Okay. Let's head down to Path B. And Path B is interesting. You've got four teams that came out of Nations League B, Israel against Iceland, Bosnia against Ukraine. Israel and Bosnia are hosting, given their Nations League performance. Iceland and Ukraine are going to have to travel. And Bosnia and Ukraine, that winner was drawn as the host for the final. Israel, of course, despite being host, is not going to host in Israel. I believe they're playing in Hungary. And then Bosnia, Ukraine, if Ukraine does win that, they'll also be hosting it. A neutral venue. I don't know exactly which country would host if Ukraine wins, but probably, you know, the atmospheres are not going to be as raucous as Ligue A, I would say. Certainly won't be the case in Bosnia. I expect that to be a wild scene. Let's start with Israel and Iceland. I think Israel probably a little bit disappointed with their Euro qualifying campaign. They were set up, I think, pretty nicely in their group with Romania and Switzerland, and then, of course, had to postpone their two October matches and play four matches in the November window, which ultimately you could see the players were just exhausted. It was too much for them, and they ended up in the playoffs. And then you have an Iceland team that I think has been fading. I think they showed a little bit towards the end of qualifying, but in the group with Portugal and Slovakia and Luxembourg and Bosnia also, they never really showed anything that would indicate they were going to finish in the top two. So to me, it's two teams when you look at them. One, I think, was close and really blew an opportunity, and the other didn't really show a whole lot. So I'm not overly encouraged by either of these teams coming into the playoffs. Are you feeling the same way about both of them?
Yes and no. I think you're spot on with Israel. I think Iceland, I might differ slightly. I think they're in a bit of a rebuilding phase right now, but I think that rebuilding phase is progressing a little faster than maybe I expected. So again, for me, this is another tie that I really can't decide who I think is going to go through here. Iceland did not call in Gylfi Sigurdsson, but that's not horribly surprising. He actually just signed with a big club in his home country in Iceland, obviously, Valor. So he's back home. And they're kind of looking at life without him, but there's some other, you know, big guns for Iceland that did not get called in as well. Players who we've, you know, come to know with the squad. They didn't call in anybody new though. There's no fresh faces. So everybody they did bring in does have experience, and there's actually quite a few, of a younger generation. So that's interesting. For Israel, I think the fact that they're playing at home is going to be really advantageous to them. Iceland doesn't seem to play well away from home, if memory serves correctly. And yeah, I think that's ultimately going to be the difference. I mean, you know, the stadium in Israel is going to be packed out. So it's, you know, it's going to be a tough atmosphere. But I like the talent that's in the Iceland squad, maybe a little better than I do in the Israel squad, but that's not, these are like very fine margins that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here. Both those teams players.
They're going to be playing in Hungary.
Oh, you're right. In Hungary. You're right. Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
Where they play the November matches.
Yeah. Duh. So it's a neutral. Yeah. It's a neutral. Yeah. Of course. Because of what's going on.
I think in November though, I think Israel still got a solid home crowd. There was a pretty sizable attendance. I don't think it felt like it was truly just, you know, nobody showed up for the game, but
right.
I think, you know, it's going to be a little bit different, than had they been playing on home soil. But, I agree though with you. I think Iceland, is a very different team away from home. I think this one's kind of a toss up. I like the Israel team. I think they can advance past Iceland. I think this one for me is really a toss up. I think.
Yeah, I agree. Even right now talking through this, like I still don't even know. like flip a coin, honestly. Like, I mean, you've got Zahavi who's come out of retirement still for this. You know, he came out for the Euro or for the groups, and now he's here for the playoffs. And if they don't make it, I'm sure that's probably the end for him.
Yeah.
I
like the Israel squad. I think also just mentally where they're at now versus the November window. You know, they're at most have to play two games, not thinking through how do we balance this with four games in 10 days. I think this sets up much better for them to perform at their best. I don't think they were at their best in November.
Yeah. Yeah, it's again, it's going to be close. So if you're going Israel, I'll go Iceland then.
Okay.
Why not?
50-50, just 50-50. Like the game probably is itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be very tight. I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals. And now watch, it's going to be like a 6-goal thriller, but I do, I think it's going to be tight. We did see that Israel, that was one issue they had in November, right? They leaked a lot of goals. And I mean, Iceland did too, to be fair, because they were in a group with Portugal.
Yeah.
But Israel is not Portugal, so we'll have to see. That's probably for me the one that I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. It's, I think that one, and then the Wales Finland. I'm back and forth. I think Israel Iceland is going to be very close. Well, all right. On the other side of path B is Bosnia hosting Ukraine, and I think these are two teams that are almost at the total opposite end of the spectrum. You have Bosnia, who look great in the Nations League prior to qualifying. I was yelled at on Twitter over and over because I was not projecting Bosnia to qualify out of their group. I was projecting Slovakia to qualify. Slovakia qualified. Anyway, Bosnia had a horrible campaign. They had 9 points from 10 matches. They finished fifth in their group. They had a minus 11 goal differential. They only finished ahead of Liechtenstein in Group J in a 6-team group. Ukraine, on the other hand, was at the total opposite end of the spectrum. They finished third in their group of five. They were tied on points with Italy at 14. And if not for a still, in my mind, controversial non-penalty call for them in the final game against Italy, they could easily qualify directly and not even have to deal with the playoffs. So I feel like Ukraine was much closer to the top tier and qualifying and really competing at the level of the other teams that have qualified thus far than Bosnia has. However, Bosnia is hosting this game, and that is not an easy place to play in. The pitch conditions are probably not going to be outstanding, I'll say. You know, depending on weather and such, it could be a messy game. But it's not a great location for Ukraine. But at the same time, I feel like on paper, Ukraine is a much better team than Bosnia is. Is that a fair assessment in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's fair. On paper, yeah. I know that the game is sold out, so there's definitely going to be a large crowd there. There's some weird stuff going on with the Bosnian FA too, like FK Sarajevo is one of the teams in the league there, and they've come out recently with like some allegations against the federation, and it led to. So I guess the Bosnian team was supposed to be training at the FK Sarajevo facilities, but the club said, "Nope, you can find somewhere else to go train." So that's been that's been kind of interesting to watch that unfold. It's a FA that is has long been identified with some deeper issues and, you know, potentially some corruption type things. So I just wonder how that may affect the team and the surroundings of the team, if at all. I wonder if that could have some sort of play here, which obviously doesn't bode well for Bosnia, which I think is under the cosh anyways. Cause yeah, I think Ukraine is the better team between the two of them. I don't actually think it's very close. So yeah. Bosnia has brought in Denis Husabesic from FC Cologne. He's having an okay season in Germany. He's playing regularly and getting good minutes, but I don't think he's had horribly outstanding performances. And so we'll have to see if he ends up getting any sort of playing time in this match. But he's a midfielder. But for Ukraine, a couple new faces in the squad and a lot of the names that you would normally expect to see. And I'm sure the Ukrainian fans will have some sort of, you know, contingent in the stadium as well. Hopefully there's not any sort of violence or anything like that. I don't know what kind of relationship those two nations have, but yeah. Anyways, so I'm going with
Ukraine. So you like Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm going with Ukraine.
Yeah. All right. And so should Ukraine win, and I do think they will, they would then host, I'm trying to see if it was announced exactly where that would be hosted. It looks like Warsaw. No, Wrocław in Poland. So Ukraine would be hosting in Poland against either Israel or Iceland. Do you think either Israel or Iceland can take down Ukraine?
No, I don't. Do you?
I don't. I think Israel has a chance if they're at their best. I think Israel at their best could challenge Ukraine. I still would favor Ukraine for sure. I think they could make it somewhat of a match. I think if it is Ukraine, though, I would strongly favor them. And even now, I think I've got them, you know, north of like 65% to win path B. So,
yeah.
I expect it fully that it'll be Ukraine, but you never know. If Bosnia does happen to knock them off, maybe it's Bosnia that qualifies, because then they would host again that final. So I definitely like Ukraine, particularly if they're able to get past Bosnia. Yeah. To me, they're just the best team in this path.
Yeah.
All right, let's head down to path C. So we've got Georgia hosting Luxembourg. We've got Greece hosting Kazakhstan. Georgia and Luxembourg, the winner of that match will host the final. And so you could see Luxembourg hosting a final for a chance to qualify for Euro, which is remarkable.
If I remember correctly, though, your odds did not like Luxembourg very much.
They do not. They do not. I think it's mostly due to Georgia, their quality, them hosting. But what the computer does not know is that there are going to be some key players missing from both of these sides. So, Luxembourg missing Danel Sanani is problematic. He is, I would argue, their best player. And I think most would argue that he's their best player. Mm. He will not be playing against Georgia. Mm-hmm. But Georgia's best player, I think, is a far bigger loss just because he is so good. And that is Farage Gelia, will not be playing in the semifinal. So probably the two best players in this pairing are both missing the semifinal, which is unfortunate. I think that creates a little bit of uncertainty. And so knowing that those two players will not be playing, do you favor Georgia? Do you favor Luxembourg going into Georgia and stealing a win?
So both of these teams haven't called up anybody new. So again, very experienced side that they're bringing in, right? They're not taking chances. I think Luxembourg is a seriously underrated team. I really do. And again, I think this is going to be a really, really fun one. So I'm going with Luxembourg in this. I'm taking them. Yeah.
I don't blame you. I think they had a really strong campaign. And they look good. And if you strip out their matches against Portugal, which were not good at all, they finished qualifying with a positive goal differential. And yes, Sanani is going to be missing, but I think they've got quality up and down that squad. And I think they're going to be really tough. You go back to the final match in qualifying. Both Luxembourg and Georgia had nothing to play for. They were already out. They had no chance of ending up anywhere other than playoffs. having those players play, and then Sinani picked up a red card like immediately. Yeah. And Kvaratskhelia, a stupid yellow for no reason. I still cannot get over what these, both of these countries were thinking, putting those players out there, knowing how important they are to their qualifying hopes.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me. I still can't get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that intrigues me the most about this game, and I think out of all of them, I think this has the greatest potential to be like a total shootout. Mm-hmm. So for Georgia, right, they've got Mikitadze, right, who's playing well at Metz in France.
He's back at Metz and actually playing, which is great.
Yeah. But then Luxembourg has Gerson Rodriguez, right?
Yep.
And not only that, they've got Yvandro Borges Sanchez also, who's on loan right now. I do like him. He's owned by Borussia Mönchengladbach in Germany, but he's on loan right now to NEC in the Netherlands. And yeah, Rodriguez is having a really good season with Slovan Bratislava. There's some weird personal stuff going on with him right now, allegations of like abuse or something. So I think it's fortunate that he's able to be in the squad right now, because I think that's starting to get quite serious, which is never good to hear. We don't like that. But he is there and he's in really good form. So I think he could definitely be one that makes a difference. I'm looking forward to seeing.
You're feeling the upset.
I'm feeling the upset. Yeah, I'm taking Luxembourg. I am.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. The other matchup.
I can't have Rodriguez missing a wide open net again. he's got to convert those.
Luxembourg looked dangerous all throughout qualifying, and I think they can get by Georgia. I'm in agreement there. The other matchup with Greece and Kazakhstan, if it's Greece, I mean, they will be playing at home. That is one huge advantage, is that whoever does win from the Georgia-Luxembourg match will play at home. Greece is hosting Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan also is missing a key player in Nurali Alip. He's similar to the other two players, is suspended for this match, which is a big blow for Kazakhstan. Greece is a team for me that I think, from what I saw throughout qualifying, I really felt like with Greece, had they not been in a group with France and the Netherlands, that they could have qualified as a top two team. Like I think Greece has that much quality throughout their squad and they played the Netherlands tough. They didn't look great against France, but they played the Netherlands tough and ultimately were in it until the very end. So was Kazakhstan. You know, Kazakhstan looked strong throughout qualifying. They started off great and then faded towards the end. But
they did.
They were with Denmark, Slovenia, and Finland.
Yep.
For me, the one big thing with Kazakhstan is, you know, we talked about it with some other teams. I feel like Kazakhstan is far, far better at home than they are away. The home advantage in Kazakhstan is crazy. They've scored some ridiculous goals, had some wild comebacks in qualifying, took out Denmark. It was a ridiculous game. But Kazakhstan has to play two on the road. And for me, I look at this fixture against Greece, and I feel pretty strongly that Greece is going to advance from this tie.
Yeah. Just a counter argument to your Kazakhstan point. They did go to Helsinki and beat Finland.
Yes.
So there's...
They can win away from home.
They can, yeah. But I am in agreement with you, actually. I think not to give you a hard time, but I think Greece has the capability of seeing this game through, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, maybe Kazakhstan has another surprise in store. I think it's unlikely, but we will see. And then ultimately, if Greece does win, they're going to have to go to either Georgia or Luxembourg. I think I'd favor Greece still in either of those games on the road. I have been high on Greece for quite some time. I think this is really a good opportunity for them. I look at Greece versus Georgia and Luxembourg, and yes, whoever does win will get pretty much their best player back for the final. I think I'd still favor Greece, though, even in that scenario. Do you feel the same?
If so, yes and no. So if it's Greece, Luxembourg, I don't know. I might play the hot hand in that one. I might take Luxembourg in that.
At home.
Yeah. But it's going to be tough. Whatever that second game is. I also wanted to mention too, by the way, with Kazakhstan. So a player that people should be watching is Zaynutdinov. He's a midfielder. He plays at Besiktas, but he is going to be, I think, one of the focal points for Kazakhstan in this game. And it'll be interesting to see if Greece can shut it down. So anywho, so I'm going to Greece to win the first game. And probably Greece to get it in, probably. Yeah,
I'm going to stick with Greece as well. But I'm excited about these games, too, because Georgia and Luxembourg, both one of them guaranteed is going to be playing one match at home to qualify for Euro. No matter what happens, Georgia or Luxembourg is going to be playing one match at home to qualify. So it's having one of those two teams at Euro would be pretty exciting.
Yeah, that would be cool. So are you taking Georgia over Luxembourg?
I'm going to take Georgia over Luxembourg. I think playing at home, I think without Kvaratskhelia, I think we could see something special from Mikitadze. So
yeah,
we'll see.
All right.
So that's it for Euro qualifying. So a lot of games to be played, and we'll have three final teams joining the 21 already headed to Germany. We'll complete the field. And so once this window is complete, full speed ahead for Euro 2024 this summer. I'm excited. Yes.
Which you are going to, by the way.
I am. That is true. I will be in Germany. I'll be in Dusseldorf and Cologne. Either four or five matches we're targeting, but might end up seeing Greece here. Could see a few others. Got Italy versus Albania in store. Have France versus Austria, England, Serbia, and then Scotland, Switzerland. So looking very, very much forward to all of those, and should be a great trip.
Nice. Going to be awesome.
Everything is locked and loaded and ready to go. So looking forward to it. Yeah, so that's Euro. There is one other match taking place, match up, I should say, taking place in Europe. And it's the UEFA Nations League playout. I know it's just rolling off the tip of the tongue, and everyone's super excited for the League C playout. we have Gibraltar against Lithuania. And basically what has happened and how UEFA has handled the Nations League is that because there are only two groups in League D, there's a play-in to see if play-out to see if one of the other League C teams will go down. An extra League D team will go up. That happens to be this matchup here, which is Gibraltar against Lithuania. Not a whole lot of significance immediately from this matchup, but one of the things to keep an eye on, I know you wanted to talk about Gibraltar a little bit as well. It's an interesting matchup because the upcoming UEFA Nations League, which is going to start in the fall, actually is tied into the 2026 World Cup qualifying for UEFA. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. And It looks like for World Cup qualifying, four teams in the UEFA playoffs are going to come from the Nations League, and they are all going to be group winners, which is interesting, in that you might be better off losing and ending up in League D so that you can win your group and perhaps get into the World Cup playoffs. It's, I'd say, a long shot, but I do think that, and just looking at how the group's set up, I think you're probably better off in League D, which is probably not what UEFA wants, but that is how they've set it up. Anyway, these teams will play a play-out game. I think it's only one leg, right? Oh, no, it's two legs.
It is two.
There's two.
Yeah.
It's two.
Yeah, it's home and away.
Yeah, home and away. So we'll see who comes through that. But I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Gibraltar squad as well because of some of the names. And, you know, you're used to seeing your firefighters and school teachers make up the Gibraltar squad. But that's not the route they've gone this window.
Yeah, so as you and I were discussing beforehand as well, maybe Gibraltar has one eye on that next Nations League group because they've taken a few liberties to call in five new players for this, which is, I think, significant. You don't see too many nations calling in that many players who are brand new. And there's actually, I mean, for Gibraltar, these players are playing at a decent level, right? So you've got Jaden Bartolo, who's playing at Wealdstone. You've got Taylor Carrington playing at Algeciras in Spain. You've got Liam Jessup playing at Chesterfield, Caimaro at Atletico Zabal. And then this one caught my eye a little bit, James Scanlon, who is in the youth teams at Manchester United.
That's remarkable.
He's an under 19 player, I think. It's going to be interesting to see how these players kind of bed in and what kind of impact they have. Again, maybe not too much at stake, but maybe this is something that they want to invest in, right? And so between Gibraltar and Lithuania, I think, again, it's probably two teams that are fairly matched, honestly.
Yeah.
So it could be anybody's take.
And Gibraltar, you know, lost all eight matches in Euro qualifying. Not great. Lithuania was able to get a win.
Yep. That was a famous one.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I'd probably favor Lithuania a bit here, but very curious to see what happens with this Gibraltar squad, the new players. They're not insignificant club names that you mentioned for some of these new players.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, if Gibraltar does end up coming away on top in this, you know, to see them in League C would be really interesting. Not definitely, I think, unexpected.
So. Yeah. And the winner, if they get into League C, is going to be in a group with Romania, Kosovo, and Cyprus. So not an overly challenging group. I mean, I think Romania is strong and Kosovo is strong but Cyprus hasn't been playing all that well. And I definitely think that whoever ends up in that group has a chance to at least be competitive with Cyprus, if not the other two groups, the other two teams.
Yeah. I mean, Cyprus was in League D not too long ago, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right. They've not been playing well at all.
No.
Really over the last few years. They also did not get a point in Euro qualifying. Really just have not been that good over the last, you know, 5+ years. They've really struggled.
Yeah.
So that does it for UEFA. Interesting matchups this window. Really, I think all the focus at this point is looking ahead to Euro. But once we get into the fall, things will be changing. The Nations League coming up, and then next year we'll get into 2026 World Cup qualifying, because at this point we are not that far away. We're just about 2 years out. So a lot more to come in UEFA, and things will wrap up for Euro qualifying in the March window.
Yeah, I guess I'll add real quick, if anybody's interested in seeing, so obviously a lot of the European nations are in friendlies this month. And so we've kind of been combing through all the squads and figuring out who's new. So you can find that on our Twitter/X account if you're interested in that. So quick shout out there.
All right. That does it for UEFA. And we will be back with the CONCACAF March preview.